morning. Welcome to Peace Lutheran Church as we gather for worship this morning. There are a number of announcements that have been displayed on the whiteboard and just a couple that I'd like to bring to your attention. We continue to have opportunities to be in God's Word outside of our worship services. There are Bible studies during the week, the one that I lead on Wednesday mornings, and there's also a Tuesday evening at 5:30 study, and then there's a Thursday study that goes on. I believe that's at 1:30. So if those times work for you, it'd be great for you to join those studies and be in God's Word. Next Sunday, we will have our annual meeting following our worship service as we look forward to continuing to take steps to be involved in our community and bring the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning's worship service, we're following Divine Service Setting 3, and our opening hymn is numbered 902. Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon
this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite you to speak responsibly. The intro it. Your lightings lighted up the world.
The earth trembled and shook.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs to have space for the courts of the Lord.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house.
Ever seeing your grace.
For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor.
No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your lightings lighted up the world. Transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
This 34th chapter of the book of Exodus, verses 29 through 35, is the source of our reading this morning. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the peoples of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us all read the gradual.
You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured out upon you. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make our enemies your footstool.
The epistle comes from the second book of Peter, the first chapter, verses 16 through 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand and continue to sing. Gospel according to Saint Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothing became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. At this time, we join together and speak the Nicene Creed, confessing our Christian faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Invite the congregation to be seated at this time. And children that are present, may come forward for our children's message. Yes, it is a good morning, and I am so glad that you are here as we are able to gather in worship this morning. We heard some readings this morning. We heard about Moses and how he would talk to God, and then how he'd come and he'd talk to the people. But did you guys hear what was different about Moses when he talked to the people? Kind of different than what I look like, or what you guys look like? What was different about Moses after he talked to God? What do you think?
His face was shining.
His face was shining. Does my face shine? No. Do your guys' faces shine?
No.
No. His face, it was shining because he had talked to God, and he was in God's presence. And God is holy, and when Moses was with God, he came back, and the people, they could see he was different, right?
Yeah,
he didn't just go talk to somebody else, but he was talking to God, and that way they knew he was talking to God, and God was sending them a message. For you and for me, is that how we talk to God? Do we see his face, and do we come away with shining faces?
No.
Well, I don't think they shine so much. But maybe we are happy and we're filled with joy and we have a smile on our face when we've talked to God, when we've talked to him in prayer, or when we've talked to him and he's talked to us through his word, the Bible, right?
Yeah.
We are changed too, not necessarily on the outside when God talks to us in his word, but it's in the inside, in our hearts, right?
Yeah,
when God tells us that he has sent his son and he loves us, does that make us feel good?
Yeah.
And does that want us to do good things to help other people too?
Yeah.
So God talks to us, and we may not be changed on the outside with a shiny face, but we are changed in our hearts when we hear God's word. And that's so important for us. And that's why we're gathered together here today as we're in this house. Because not only are you here to hear God's word, but all of our Christian brothers and sisters, our moms and dads, and those that are here with us, grandma and grandpas, do we all need to hear God's word?
Yeah.
Yeah, do we all need to have our hearts and minds changed and shaped by it?
Yeah.
Do we see any shining faces out there this morning?
No,
maybe the one right under the light, but that's a different reason. But yet, we know that it's not the outside that the world is going to see that God is with us because, but rather our hearts and on our inside, how we think and how we feel and act. Those are the ways that we show the world that God is speaking to us and that we are followers of him, right? So that's why we are all here today, whether you're 2 years old or whether we're 25 or whether we're 82, we're all here to hear God's word so that his word shines in our life. So let us say a prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father,
dear Heavenly Father,
we thank you.
We thank you.
For shining brightly in our lives.
For shining brightly in our lives.
Your word is a lamp to our feet.
Your word is a lamp to our feet.
And a light for our path.
And a light for our path.
Please allow us.
Please allow us.
To shine this light.
To shine this light.
So others would see,
so others would see,
and come to know your Savior,
and come to know your Savior,
our Lord Jesus Christ,
our Lord Jesus Christ.
We pray in his name.
We pray in his name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for coming up, boys and girls, and there are treats that I will send with you back to the pews as the congregation continues by singing hymn 414. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's sermon is based upon the text from Matthew chapter 17. Throughout the years, you may have seen a number of different slogans on shirts. And when I was in high school, one of those slogans that was popular was the slogan, "No Fear." Do any of you remember seeing t-shirts that had that slogan on it? Oh, it was around, and some people really enjoyed those shirts. There's usually a message, and then all of a sudden it said, "No fear." I think it really was a false advertising slogan. Some of these people that would wear these shirts, even though it says "no fear," I'm certain that they did have fears in their lives. Certain things would terrify them. There are things out there that cause me to be terrified, to be fearful, but not in the right manner of fear. Sometimes we are afraid of things that we have no control of or things that we are not comfortable with. There are people that are afraid of heights. Anybody out there afraid of heights? There are people that are afraid of small enclosed spaces, claustrophobia, right? There are people that are afraid of spiders or snakes or other things of that nature, right? And these are things that cause us to be terrified and, you may say, even to petrify us to where we just can't do anything except panic because of the situation we're in. Fear. It can be a big part of our lives, and yet there are a couple different types of fear. There's the fear that we have that is because we are so afraid of the situation we're in or so afraid of something. And then there is the other fear. Luther, in his explanation to the first commandment, "You shall have no other God," says we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. A holy fear, a reverent fear. It's different than being afraid, because this fear we know, and we look at God with awe, because He is the God that has created the heavens and the earth. And when His presence, things are different. Matthew tells about being in God's presence. He talks about the transfiguration that Jesus underwent. It was 6 days later that Jesus was taking with him Peter, James, and John. They go up on a high mountain by themselves, and there He is transfigured before them. It says His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became white as light. Kind of similar to the Old Testament lesson where we heard when Moses was speaking to God, His face shone. And yet Moses' face was just a reflection of what he had seen and been in the presence of. For Jesus, though, it says, His face shone like the sun. How different that must have been for the disciples. Jesus there with His face shining and His clothes becoming as white as light. And then you add the figures of Moses and Elijah. They are there speaking to Jesus. What an amazing and astounding experience for Peter, James, and John. Certainly one that they would not forget. One that we heard Peter retell of or speak of in the epistle lesson. Know that they actually were there and they saw Jesus on that mountain. This isn't a far-fetched story that they're making up, but it really happened. And they are there. And it's kind of, you might say, one of those moments in their life that they just don't want it to end. Here they are with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Wow, how great this must be. The troubles of this world, those things that would cause them to be fearful, certainly not present there. That is until a bright cloud overshadowed them, and then there's a voice from the cloud that speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Generally, I don't end up in a situation where we have a bright cloud coming and overshadowing me. Yes, every once in a while we drive through the fog, but that's a whole different situation than what Peter, James, John experienced with Jesus. Here we have a bright cloud that comes and overshadows them, similar to the cloud that represented God descending upon the tabernacle, coming upon the temple. This was different. And then from this cloud, a voice is heard. It says they were on the high mountain by themselves. Had anybody else been in the area, they certainly would have known. When Moses and Elijah appear, they see them. But now we have the cloud and this voice that speaks, the voice of God himself. And when the disciples heard it, this, they fell on their faces and they were terrified. You would say they were filled with fear. They did not know what to do. Fear, because the Lord was in their presence, is not always a bad thing. Fear, because the Lord has made himself known to us, allows us to know who we are, who you are, and where you stand before your heavenly Father. In this life, we should not go around saying we have no fear. Rather, we should have the fear of the Lord in our hearts, knowing that, yes, he is the one who has created us. He is the one who has expectations of us, how we are to live, what we are to think and say and do in our lives. He desires for us to live lives of holiness. And if we are not, then certainly we should be filled with terror. For our Heavenly Father, he he does not simply love all of his creation. Yes, there is love for his creation, but yet he is a God who demands justice and righteousness also. He demands that there be a payment for all sin. And that is why he sent his son, Jesus. Jesus was sent by your heavenly Father so that he would bear your sins upon the cross. As the Holy Son of God, he went to the cross bearing your sins, being tainted by them. You would say his light on that cross did not shine as it did in this transfiguration, but rather he was stained with sins. And there upon the cross he died, paying the price for each and every sin that you and I have committed, the sins of the entire world. He bore upon the cross. This beloved Son of God, with whom he was well pleased, Jesus did this for you so that you and I would not have to be terrified of God, to be terrified to be in his presence, to need to have a veil put between God and you. Rather, Jesus, he makes you holy. In the waters of baptism, your sins are washed away. In the Lord's Supper, you receive his very body and blood, assuring you that you are forgiven and you are God's child. So that God says of you that you are his beloved sons and daughters with whom he is pleased. A fear of the Lord, yes, is a good thing to have, as Luther does instruct us, for we fear, love, and trust in God above all things. We thank God that we do not need to be terrified of his return, the day when he will come to judge the living and the dead, but rather that we, because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, are adopted sons and daughters. We are blessed, and we know that our Savior Jesus Christ has paid for all of our sins, the sins of the whole world. And so we boldly proclaim in our lives that, yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. For this one God has created me, has redeemed me from all sins, and sanctifies me so that I will have life eternal. May you continue to look to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be filled with the holy fear of God our Heavenly Father, to know that in Jesus you are forgiven all of your sins, that you need not be terrified of his return, but you can be filled with joy, for yes, Jesus comes, and you will live with him forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing the offertory. besiege me, my heart will not fear. For the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, in your Son, your glory tabernacled in human flesh and blood to win for us eternal life, open the eyes of all people to see your glory in the face of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you admonish your children to listen to your Son. Give us ears to hear him as he speaks to us through his holy word and sacraments, and grant us faith to believe that he delivers forgiveness, life, and salvation to us through the same. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, with the appearance of Moses and Elijah at your Son's glorious transfiguration, you revealed to us that all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in him. Send your blessing upon the pastors and servants of your church, that all their preaching and teaching would flow from the right understanding that all scripture testifies of Christ and his work for our eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, bless the families of your church, that parents would teach the faith to their children, and that the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in all households. Remember all expectant mothers, that they and their babies would be kept healthy throughout their pregnancies. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, look with compassion on those in need, especially Rick, Glenn, Wayne, Tracy, Abigail, Linda, Leon, Blanche, Lois, and the family and friends of Jessica Lutke. Grant them relief and comfort through the promise of eternal glory with Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, how lovely is the dwelling place of your Son, Jesus Christ, who invites sinners to eat and drink of his body and blood. Grant to all who come to this feast repentant hearts, that they would receive forgiveness and be strengthened in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
congregation, please stand as you are able. The true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.